you know, the older I get, I pray and I say, God, help me to do nothing out of just a habit or a routine. Let it mean something. And so as you stand here today, you're standing full of purpose, standing full of the grace of God, standing full in the mercy of God, standing full in the recovery of God, standing full in the health of God. God saw it fit for you to be able to stand today. Everything in a week could try to make you give up, could try to say, you know what, this is too hard. Try to say, yeah, God, this Christian thing, it's not working for me. Lord, I made too many mistakes this week. I don't even feel worthy to sit in your presence. See, all of those things can go through a person's mind, but you're standing here today nonetheless. If you need a touch from God this morning in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place today, God, I speak healing, God, spirit, soul, and body. I speak recovery, God, into every person, Lord, that's bound by addiction. God, right now, I ask that you administer peace and comfort to every broken heart. Lord, for the Ellington family that have lost their mother, their grandma, for Logan County that's lost their chief of police, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over that family right now. God, I thank you, Lord, that she was a blessing. God, her legacy is living on. And Lord, I thank you for the person that's going to take her place. God, I thank you that they're a person after your own heart. Lord, I ask that you would bless Logan County with that person. And God, give comfort to her family, Lord, for Patty Ezell, for Regina, for the Ezell family, for those children, for the grandchildren. God, I ask that you would comfort them right now. Lord, for every amount of brokenness that they felt, God, I ask that you would give them comfort and peace right now. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. I'm excited to be here this morning in his presence and in his house. I began to understand what God wanted me to minister on when I went to the jail ministry on Monday. And many times that's when it gets the ball rolling. People think, well, do you just get your messages offline? You just print them off online? No, I get them from the Holy Spirit. I don't print nothing off online. And I don't have a book that's going to tell me what I need to preach to y'all every week. I don't operate that way. And I'm not knocking anybody that does, but what I get fresh every week for you. And God begins to put it into my spirit at the beginning of the week. And I walked into the jail ministry intending on ministering one thing, but God quickly began to show me that I was going to minister on something else that I had absolutely no idea about. It didn't have any notes on it, but went in there and it just began to flow. But I always ask the ladies in there, I always say, how are you doing? And that may seem like a funny question to ask somebody incarcerated, but it's a legitimate question because they could be doing good one moment and get bad news the next moment and not be doing so well. And so I always ask them, how are you doing? Have you had a rough week? How have the last couple days been doing? And I look over, and there's a little girl there. She was probably, gosh, maybe 25, maybe. I don't even think she was that old, but she was just weeping. And I said, you know, what's going on with you? And she said, you know, I have been intoxicated for the past several years. And she said, this is the first moment of clarity that I've had in years. And she said, and I just realized just by being in here that I have not been able to grieve the loss of some of my family members. And it's just hit me all at once in here. And I began to minister on sobriety. And oddly enough, it parallels with the believer so much because so many people are intoxicated by so many things other than pills, alcohol, all that stuff. I'm going to preach to you this morning on sobriety. And God began that message, and by the time that last night rolled around and every bit of this week had just really soaked in, I thought, you know, God, you do all things well. You do all things well. And so turn with me now to Luke chapter 31. Luke chapter 21. Thank you, Dad. We used to have CDs, and before we had CDs, we had cassette tapes. Some of the kids don't even know what those are, but I remember them. And I've been preaching since I was 19 years old, so that's almost 20 years. And in every one of those CDs that I have, you can hear one resounding amen, a constant amen, and it's the voice of my dad. And so if you're a parent in there, I want to encourage you to be one of the loudest voices that your kids hear. It doesn't matter if they're 10 or 30 or 40 or 50. That's important. It's important at every age for them to know that you're there. Luke chapter 21. I'm going to read this in two translations, and I'm going to really break it down for us this morning. Luke chapter 21, verse 32, and this is the words of Jesus. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I want to let you know this morning that man does not live on bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds, that comes forth out of the mouth of God. Now you could say, well, why does that pertain to me? It pertains to you because your life is going to be what you make it. Your life is going to be what you make it. If it's bad and it sucks, guess what? Now, if that just offends the heck out of people, look here, I'm going to preach where we actually live. And I left that violin at home because I ain't going to sit there and strum up the right song and dictate all your feelings and get you whatever. Because let me also tell you something. It is not up to me for you to feel goosebumps up in this service. That is not my job. My job is to put that word forth in such a way that you can understand it. Now, I may offend you by the time you walk out the door. I may make you think, but one thing that you will not do when you leave this service is you will not be wondering what I meant. Amen? And that's a good thing. Because, see, everybody is sugarcoating everything, and I'm learning to not do that as much. Amen? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Your life is going to be what you make it. And if you want a good life, what you're going to do is you're going to get into the Word of God and you're going to read it for yourself. If you hear this message today and you think that you're getting saved and you're going to heaven just because you sat here in a church service, you're wrong. If you shake my hand at the end of this service and you think that that's going to get you into heaven, you're wrong. I don't have that kind of authority. What's getting you in heaven is working out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. That's what's getting you there. You need to know what God says about you. Because look here, everybody's going to be saying something about you at some point in your life, and you're going to get drunk off of just hearing what everybody else has to say. It's an intoxicating thing. We drink in the world. We absorb so much of the world that we are high off of what everybody's saying. My words will never pass away, and that's why I encourage you to get to where you know the Word of God. Because the Word of God is living, and it's active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the ability to cut through all of the nonsense that we give. And it says this, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation. Now I'm going to go over here. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now verse 34, and I like it in the King James Version because it pulls some things out that is lost in the NIV and in some other things. So I'm going to pull it out because what we have to do is you have to get the Word of God inside of you until you can digest it and it's on the inside of you. Because we don't live off of just natural food. We live off and survive off the Word. And if you're just surviving out there, then you need to thrive. And how are you going to thrive? You're going to thrive off of the Word. And it says here, and take heed take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourself. Now, the nosiest bunch of people that I know are Christians. Amen. And I ain't lying. The nosiest, most gossipiest, backbitingest people that I know are believers. I am that way myself sometimes. Now, I'm going to put it to you like this. Take heed, or here's another word for heed. I tell you, be careful. Take heed. Pay attention to yourself. Because if you don't, there's something that's going to happen. And see, this is where people really miss having a good life, is they don't know how to understand the Word of God. I am not somebody that's got a four-year college degree. I've got an associate's degree. I used my degree for 14 years in the medical field. And then you know what? I was done with that. Haven't used it since. But one of the gifts that God has put on my life is to help people understand His Word. Take heed to yourself. Pay attention to yourself. Because if you don't, here is a promise. It's going to happen to you. This is going to happen to you if you don't. Lest, or if you don't, at any time, your hearts be overcharged. Has anybody ever had a cell phone and it wouldn't keep a good charge, or you had a plug-in appliance or something and it wouldn't keep a good charge anymore? You'd plug it in and you'd take it out, and for 5 seconds it would work, and then after that it wouldn't work, and because that battery was overcharged. You just charged it and charged it and charged it, and eventually it just wouldn't even hold a charge. That's how we become. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be overcharged. So what happens for the believer is that there are people, and I don't know, but they're worried about everybody but themselves. I'm like that. And then what happens to me when I get like that is that I can't even handle normal little things that are going to happen in life. And see, here's what this looks like. And I'm just going to preach this out of my own life because I can preach it best out of mine. I can't use anybody in here for an example because everybody get all offended at me and threaten me and everything else. So I'm just going to use myself. Dwayne would probably let me use him for an example. We've grown up together and he loves me. But when I hear of people having problems or things going on in the world, my little pea brain literally goes straight into thinking, how am I going to fix everybody and all their problems? And then I get all weighed down to where when I have a little problem, let's just say I have a flat tire. Well, I've been focusing on every single thing of everybody else and all their stuff and all their problems, and the world's in a crisis over here, and the news said this, and the gas price is this, and all this stuff. And then that flat tire comes. And then I'm sitting there, and I've just made the flat tire the biggest deal, when at the end of the day, here's all I'm going to do about the flat. I'm going to call Brian Heiss. Amen. And he's going to fix it. So it's really not that big of a deal. But because I've gotten myself not heeding to myself, and I've taken in every bit of what the world has to give me and all their problems and all of this stuff, my heart's overcharged. It can't even handle a little something going wrong for me. Okay? Now, we're going to move into some other things. Lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. No, we're not going surfing. But I'm going to explain to you what surfeiting is. Surfeiting is consuming too much and taking in excess. So we drink the world in excess. You can't even watch a hamburger Hardee's commercial without seeing a half-naked woman. So no wonder we got wandering eyes all over the place in the world, even in the church. It's because we're drinking it in and we don't even notice it. So then it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And I want to show you what happens. Now, I am not your ordinary pastor, and I'm never going to be. And I would be really naive if I didn't think that at least one time in people's life, there may be one or two people. Now, if you're easily offended, get yourself ready. So I'm about to do it. Now, this isn't true for everybody, but I would almost be willing to say that at least 90% of every person that's under the sound of my voice right here in this congregation, you've been drunk at least one time. Amen. Brother Charles, amen. He is the longest standing deacon we have.
He used to be a drunk.
He used to be a drunk. Amen. He was a drunk for the devil and he became a deacon for Jesus. Amen. However hard you work for the devil, I hope that you're working harder for Jesus.
Amen.
So we know what it's like to be drunk. And I promise you 100%, we all know what it's like to be drunk, spiritually drunk, because here's what it looks like. Oh, I've got all these problems. Woe is me. I don't know how I'm going to pay that electric bill. Darn city, they're ripping me off. That kid, it's my own flesh and blood. I can't stand that kid. Pastor Kelly, she's a jerk. She acts all sweet, but she's really a jerk. That boss, they're awful. How did they even get that job? What is Sally Sue wearing today? She looks terrible in it. I haven't even seen her yet, but she looks awful. Why does she look awful? Because I just don't like her. But on Sunday when I go to church, I'm going to act like I'm the best Christian ever. But I still hate Sally Sue. Not just hate her a little. I really hate her. Well then, here's what happens. We go around and we keep on sipping. And eventually what happens is you get spiritually drunk. Lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. You can get drunk off of just sitting there thinking about cares of this life. Cares of this life. Now, we just read in the Word, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, they're never going to pass away. Those cares that you came in here with today, honey, they are passing away. They are passing away. But one thing that will never pass away is the Word of God. Man does not live off of bread alone, but by golly, we live off of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we truly have our being. You haven't really been unless you've been in Him. You haven't really lived unless you've lived in Him. And if you're getting drunk off of all your problems, I'm going to encourage you to sober up.
Amen.
Sober up. Sober up. How can I preach this message? Because I've been drunk as a skunk most of my pastorhood. Because I love y'all so much, I just sit there and just worry myself to death about what I'm going to do to help you with your problems. First year of pastoring, I was sitting there and I was losing all this sleep about a couple. They were really acting up. And it was like 3 in the morning and God goes, Kelly, here's the problem with that couple. You're more worried about them than they're worried about them. Now go to bed. Sober up. Sober up. And cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and to be able to stand before the Son of Man. Can you stand before God today? If God said, okay, if he came down and he's driving the bus and he said, okay, it's time. Today is the day. Can you stand before him today? Can you do it today?
No.
We got one honest person in the Paul place. Thank you, Jeremy. Can we stand before God today? Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. So you keep on drinking in the world's problems, you're going to be full of the world. If I plant corn, I'm not getting broccoli. Whatever you put inside of you, that's what's coming out of you. That's why on our bad days, most of us are shocked at our own selves because we didn't know we had it in us. Well, by golly, we put it in there. We shouldn't be shocked that it's in there when it came out. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's up inside of you, that's what's coming out of you. Now I'm asking you to sober up. The devil's got some of you so drunk, including myself, that we can't function and operate in the Holy Spirit like we need to be able to. We're over here just over here drunk. Off of all the cares of this life, look here, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word ain't passing away. I'm asking you to get into the word and know it so much that you know what, when those cares want to sit there and float across your brain, you just let them go on by. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 7. I was ministering to this little girl, and she said, I could not even feel. She said, Pastor Kelly, I got to a place where I could not even feel because I was intoxicated for years. When we used to do the recovery meetings, I used to marvel at some of the common things that people would say, and we would say, why did you stay drunk? Why did you stay intoxicated? Why did you stay high? Why did you keep doing that? One of the number one things that they would say was this right here. So I wouldn't have to feel. So I wouldn't have to feel. I began to explain that to that young lady, and I'm going to tell you something. There is no faking it till you making it. You keep on faking, you're going to get yourself confused to where you wake up one day and you don't even know who you are because you faked it so many times. Be real with yourself and keep it real with yourself. The number one person that we lie to is ourselves. That's the number one person we should be honest with, because you know what? You can believe a lie and be damned. So many people believe lies about themselves. Well, I'm okay. Well, it's not that bad. Look here. You better sober up. We better sober up. Sober up. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded. In another translation, it says, therefore, be sober-minded. Many times when the Word of God speaks about sobriety, it's talking about our mind. Be sober-minded and self-controlled. And there's a reason why it tells us to have a clear mind. So that you can pray. So that you can pray. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. So that you can pray. Have you ever walked into church? You got up in your chair. Nobody was sitting in it. You got there, and the praise and worship started, and you couldn't even lift up your hands because you just felt so weighed down.
Yep.
That's the enemy. And you've got to get yourself in that same place that David got to when he said, I'm going to make myself bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips, not just when I'm having a good day, not just when everything's fine, not when I'm being haze. No, all the time. So that you can pray. So that you can pray. What is the devil going for? He's going for a gut punch. What is the gut punch? Your prayer life. If the devil can take your prayer out of your lips, he will. What does he replace it with? Grumbling, moaning, groaning, complaining, gossiping, hatred. Oh, woe is me. I have all these problems. They're never going to get any better. Keep self-prophesying because they won't if you keep on saying that. So that you can pray. And above all, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love covers over a multitude of sins. You know how many people in the past 5 years have gotten offended at me because I would not expose the sins of others? Well, more than I can count. And you know what I tell those people? You need to read your Bible. Because the Word of God says, and it tells us, love covers a multitude of sins. Here's what I know. On my worst day, in my deepest sin, I know that there was a love that was so incomparable to anything else that God poured it on that sin. He poured it on that life. He poured it on that brokenness to the point where there was an undeniable presence of the Holy Spirit right up in the middle of that situation. Kayla, I couldn't say anybody else had ever loved me in that way. Love covers a multitude. And the problem with a lot of people is they refuse to act in love. They're like, I ain't covering that one. Love will cover over a multitude of sin. The Word tells us, be sober-minded. Sober-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Go with me now. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. Is your mind ready for action? Are you ready to move? Are you ready to go? Are you happy staying stuck there in that place where you've been? Because see, in the beginning of this message, I told you, your life is what you're going to be making it. It's your choice. That's why the Word of God says, you choose you this day, blessing or curse, life or death. What do you want? Because you're choosing it every day. You're choosing it every day. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. In another translation, it says, be sober. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed as obedient children. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. You know, some of the sin that we took part of, we did it in ignorance. There's different types of sin, and there's a type of sin called willful sin, where we willfully do it, and we know it's wrong, and we willfully do it anyways. That's how you get drunk. You keep doing that stuff. You keep on doing it. To the point you don't know what's up, and to the point you don't know what's down. God's telling people in here all over the place today, sober up. Sober up. Sober up. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. In another translation, it says, be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 6. I have to first preach this message to myself. I'm the guiltiest person that I know when it comes to being drunk on life's problems. So I get it. And there's some things that I've started doing to help myself to stop. People say, well, Pastor Kelly, I just can't get a hold of you like I used to be able to. Yep, that's right. You'd be amazed at the amount of people that think they really got a problem 5 minutes before a church service. No. We're not taking those now. No. You send me a text and I'm going to filter that text out because, see, I'm going to see if I'm going to get that gunk stuck up in my spirit or not. How many of you got a phone? I want you to pull it out. I got my phone. Let's all do an exercise together. Take your hand and put it over your phone. Repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, devil, come out of this phone. Let's try it again. Jesus, help me to realize the devil ain't in the phone. The devil is working and moving into people, including myself, that want to come through the phone. Now, I'm going to give you an epiphany that I had. This thing is not an attachment to your body. People go, I feel stressed. I'm so stressed. Well, that stress, a lot of that stress is coming through the phone. He left us in the car. Good job, bro. I have learned to shut this thing. I don't have it on in the middle of the night. You know why? Because people think some things are important that are not important at 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't call your pastor at 3 o'clock in the morning to tell me you ate something and now you got indigestion. And you need prayer about that, because let me tell you something, I ain't going to be happy about that. Now, if you hurting or something really going on, you're going to have to call Frank and he's going to have to get me up. I'm a little monster. I'm not civil till about 9 o'clock in the morning. He goes, you are not a morning person. I said, I'm not a morning person. He goes, you are not a morning person, Kelly. Look, here I am. Just not until about 9 or 10 o'clock. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Sometimes we are so drunk off of pride. Pride always comes before a fall. Pride always comes before a fall. Every time I see somebody puffed up with pride, I start praying for them, because the Word of God is true. Pride always comes before a fall. How do we operate? Be humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. There is due time coming to every person that will just walk in humility. And there is a fall coming for every person that chooses pride instead. And some of the way that we walk around drunk on life's problems and we're not sober-minded, we're not clear-minded, is by being puffed up with pride and arrogance. How many of you know what the word narcissist means? The word narcissist means that that's a person and it's all about them all the time. You could be saying something about yourself and they're going to turn that story around to about them. Don't be one. Be humble. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. See, when Christ picked up that cross, he picked up anxiety. That's what you've got to understand about him. When he picked up that cross, he picked up depression. When he picked up the cross, he picked up anger. When he picked up the cross, he picked up addiction. When he picked up the cross, he picked up cancer. If you're holding those things, you're holding a weight that you could never bear. And Christ says, hey, you know what? You picked that up. It was by accident because I've already picked that up. So here's what I want you to do with it. Cast all of your anxiety on him. If you picked up depression this week, cast it right back onto him. Why? Because he already picked it up. If you've been too drunk off of life's problems and you've picked that up, cast that right back on Jesus. Verse 8. Cabo, do you know how to change 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11 to the King James Version? I want you to get that up for me as fast as you can, sweetie. These guys in the sound booth are so faithful. They're so faithful. Little Junior, he's got a job. I believe that Junior is 8 years old, and his job is to turn off the lights when the praise and worship is ready or when a song's being played. And that little kid, you would think that he thought he was the pastor because he does that job and he does it faithfully. And let me tell you something, that's why I have problems with adults. Don't tell me that you can't do something. Because let me tell you something. If I can get an 8-year-old kid to be faithful to something, I don't want to hear your nonsense. Give me a break. We got it? Verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, see, you have an enemy. You have an adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking, trying to find somebody that he can devour. Now I'm going to pick up verse 9 here in the NIV, and it says, resist him. Resist him. See, there's another place in the Word of God that says, if you keep on resisting the devil, he will flee from you. The problem is that the Christian is drunk on their problems and they have not resisted the devil. They have accepted the devil and all of his little six-pack of demons, and that's why their life is in an upheaval. They have not resisted. They've taken it in, and now we're in a situation where nobody can be honest about nothing because everybody's offended so easily. The other day, this is no kidding, I'm going to give you another opportunity to get offended about something. I ate, Bobby, my favorite thing, steak. And I sat down, and Sherry, I had a T-bone steak. Missy, I almost snapped a picture of that because I was proud that it was half decent because I cooked it. I know. It's a miracle. I said half decent. But Tanya, in my brain, here's what I thought. Somebody is going to see that Pastor Kelly is eating a T-bone steak, and they're going to get mad as heck about that. What an awful, low-down, dirty, rotten pastor. She just got to eat a T-bone steak, and I didn't post it. You know why? Because I understand that most people, they don't know how to be winners. They don't know how to be happy for someone else. Let me tell you something. If I feed the better part of Logan County, I should not be worried about who the heck is offended about me eating a T-bone steak. Because let me tell you something. I would give that T-bone steak away to somebody if they wanted it. Because I've proven that time and time again. And the Word of God has proven to be faithful to me. And here's the Word. He who is faithful with little, I'm going to make them ruler over much. So many people choose to stay drunk on life instead of drunk on Jesus that they miss the better part of life. Not because God isn't good, but because they just chose to live in mediocrity. See, life is going to be what you make it. You're going to let God be God in your life or you're not. Let me tell you something. God ain't going to bust up in your life and make you act right. That's your choice. God's not going to be like, well, this person's wanting to sin today, but I'm not going to let them. No. When you were born with free will. You're going to choose. And then when you get up in heaven on judgment day, there's going to be one of two things said to you. Welcome in, my good and faithful servant. Well done, or depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. There's going to be lots of conversation going on. Now, people don't like these truthful messages because it makes you think, where am I headed? Be sober and be vigilant because you have an adversary, the devil. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Melissa Helton, you need to write that verse down. That's a promise. I'm going to read it one more time. And the God of all grace, not just a little grace, but all of it, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. This is my last verse, gentlemen in the back. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. I am preaching a message called Sober. 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 Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Where do you lose that spiritual sobriety first? In your mind. In your mind. Here is a promise. You will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. I'm going to read that one more time. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, those whose mind is on you. Those whose mind is on Christ. You will keep in perfect peace. The devil's going for your peace. The devil's going for your mental health. The devil's going for your salvation. The devil's going for your prayer life. Keep your mind fixed on Christ. When you have opportunities to sit there and worry about everything, here's what I know. I've got more problems to keep me busy worrying than I do anything else. There's been an area of my life that I have tried. I don't know if I've ever tried more diligently in one area, and this is the area in my life, Jack, that I've totally given to God, and that's why it is so blessed, is this food ministry. It's been the one thing, Moni, that I completely, 100% gave it to God. And when God told me, Kelly, I want a manna center, I remember I was on my way home from Branson. And I was having a dream. And when I woke up from that dream, God put it into my heart, you're going to have a center and you're going to call it the manna center because I will provide.
Hallelujah.
I have had so many opportunities to worry and to fret and to stress. And I have surprised even my own self because every time that I've started to go down that rabbit hole, I've said to God, Lord, this was not my idea. So God, right now, I give it to you. I give that anxiety. I give that back to you in that area. Let me tell you something. Whether it's your children, whether it's your finances, whether it's your health, whether it's whatever it is that you're getting drunk off of, I'm going to tell you what, all of those things are right in the palm of his hand. They're right in the palm of his hand. He hasn't let them go. He hasn't let one fall. A sparrow doesn't even fall to the ground without him knowing about it. And I can promise you one thing, not 1 ounce of worrying is going to help your situation, but 1 ounce of faith is going to get you far. Now, if you're somebody and you've been sitting in this pew, I don't think that nobody can accuse me of saying, well, I don't know what she preached about today. Look here, we all know what the message was about. That's why God called me, because I'm a big mouth. But if you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what, Pastor Kelly, I have a problem. My problem is I get drunk off of thinking about all my problems and worrying myself sick and getting stressed. I want you to stand up because, see, God has a better life for you. And it doesn't involve all that extra worrying about all those things. I want to remind you right now as you stand up a promise in His Word. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all of these things. What are the things? Everything you're worried about. Everything you're stressed about, all these things, they'll be added. But what do we got to do? Seek Him first. Put Him first. Lord, in Jesus' name, all over the place today, I plead the blood of Jesus over every mind, over every heart. God, I ask You for Your very best. Lord, for every place where there's worry and stress and anxiety, I ask right now that You would take that and that You would give us peace and resolve and faith God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm going to touch Bobby right over here right now. And I speak to that job and I tell it to come forth right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that not just the old piddly job, but God, the very best. Lord, I ask for those doors to be opened to him this week. God, I ask for mercy, God, and grace. Lord, I thank you for everything that's been said to him that's been bad. God, I thank you that you're replacing those things right now in Jesus' name. God, he is the apple of your eye. God, he is above and not beneath. And right now, I thank you, God, that he is employed. And that's what I'm calling him right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love y'all. Have a blessed afternoon. There are some potatoes back there, and we are having church this evening at 5:30. Brother Sam is preaching. If you haven't heard Brother Sam, you need to hear Brother Sam.